Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane, and I'm very grateful to be here with you for the next hour. I have to admit, today has been a tough day for me. It's been one challenge after another after another. I'm sure you've had days like that, and I'm asking you to bear with me because, I'll explain to you later why it's been a tough day, but it has been challenging. So if you've had a challenging day, then let's do this together, okay? What I would like to start with today, though, is a prayer. And this is a prayer that means a lot to me. I work with Mother Teresa's sisters in Chester and sometimes Norristown. And before we work, there's a prayer that they pray. And I want to start the show with that prayer. Apparently you couldn't hear me too well, so I would like to start with a prayer that Mother Teresa's sisters, Mother Teresa did, and the sisters start their work day with, and when you're volunteering with them, we pray this prayer together, and it means a lot to me, and I really need it, because I've had a tough day, and it lifts me up, and it gives me hope. So I want to pray that. So if you'll join with me. And one thing in this prayer, it says, I kneel before you. The sisters, when we pray it with the sisters, we always kneel in the chapel and pray it. But I'm sitting, so I'm not going to say kneel before you. And so this is how it goes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, the great healer, I sit before you, since every perfect gift must come from you. I pray, give skill to my hands, clear vision to my mind, kindness and meekness to my heart. Give me singleness of purpose, strength to lift up a part of the burden of my suffering fellow men, and a true realization of the privilege that is mine. Take from my heart all guile and worldliness, that with the simple faith of a child, I may rely on you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I pray that the Lord will bless our time together today. I feel like my job here at this network is to encourage you. The Lord has encouraged me so many times in my life. He has been such a source of joy for me. He's gotten me through thick and thin, and life isn't easy. So I just want to encourage you. That's my heart's desire, to encourage you. So to start off with a little bit, let me share with you a little bit. This has been a tough day. When you are a broadcaster, and especially in the Lord's service, there are challenges that come at you all the time because the evil one does not want you to do a good job. He wants you to doubt yourself. He wants you to get confused. And some days, work. You get over it, you get through it. You come in here with confidence and you really know where you're going. And then other days, it just doesn't come together right. And because we know that no matter what, we persevere, We don't give up. We don't throw up our hands and say, oh, well, this is just too difficult for me today. I'm just not going. Or whatever. You just don't give up. You stand up to the evil one and you say, hey, you have tormented me all day long with this thing happening, that thing happening, this discouragement, this interruption, this, and I'm not giving into it. It's not easy. It's difficult. And I, you know, not happy about how I handled some of the things today. But at the same time, I can laugh at some of them because it was like one thing after another. But I just ask you, please, be patient with me and hang in there with me. I would like to revisit last week a little bit, briefly, where we talked about the Samaritan woman's encounter with Jesus at the well. And I want to revisit two things. Okay. One thing that is very important to me in reading that story is that the Jewish people and the Samaritans were not friends. They were enemies in some ways of each other. They didn't agree on a lot of things. They didn't live the same way. They were very different from each other, and so they really had very little, if anything, to do with each other. And yet Jesus went to this well, knowing that Samaritans went there. He went to this well and waited for this woman, who was a Samaritan, to come out to the well because he wanted to introduce her to real love and peace. And what I get out of that is how important it is for us to be Catholic Christians before we are politicians or before we're politically motivated. I am a Catholic Christian before I'm a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Catholic Christian before I am prejudiced or not prejudiced or whatever. We need to be the ones who don't look at other people in a way that cancels them. To be people who see the worth of every person because God created every person. And we need to have a love for them because Jesus has a love for them. And to work with them, to listen to them, to interact with them, not cancel them. That's what Jesus did with the Samaritan woman. And the Samaritan woman, she didn't cancel him either. And you see what happens when we come together, when we respect each other. We might not agree. We might vehemently disagree on various cultural issues and even faith issues. But we still need to come together. We still need to be Jesus to one another and be there for one another and work with each other. The other thing is that Jesus told her, you know, give me a drink, because he was thirsty. He also said on the cross, I thirst. And it's not, with Jesus, it's not only a physical thirst because of heat and stress and everything like that. It is a thirst for our love and to love us. For us to freely choose his love and to seek to love him back. St. Augustine, St. Therese of Lisieux, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and many other saints, as well as church teachings, and of course, Scripture reveals it without the word thirst, but it's still there in other places besides what he said. It confirms this. St. Augustine said that Jesus thirsts so that we might also thirst for him. Jesus always is there waiting for us as he was waiting for the Samaritan woman. He is there first, waiting always. You know, another scripture says, St. John says in the Bible scriptures, he says, we love because he first loved us. So, at the end of last Monday, I had a lot to talk about, and so I didn't get to read this whole thing. Mother Teresa had encounters with Jesus. She was a nun in Loreto, and in India, and she was very happy in that in her job there. She was a teacher, and she really loved it. She got along well with the girls. It was a girls' school, and they loved her, and she loved them. It was a wonderful life for her, but she went on retreat, and she had an encounter with Jesus, and he told her that he wanted her to move in a different direction. And really, it really was a life changer for her. And so she had these encounters with him, and she put together a meditation for her sisters and the Missionary Charity Fathers and for us. And I've given it to a number of people, and it really has spoken to their hearts. So I want to read it before I get into the rest of the hour, because I think none of us can hear about Christ's love for us too much. All right, so I'm going to read it, so bear with me. It's a little long, but listen with the ears of your heart, as St. Benedict used to say. Just listen, all right? This is from Jesus to you. It is true. I stand at the door of your heart day and night. Even when you're not listening, even when you doubt it could be me, I am there. I await even the smallest sign of your response, even the least whispered invitation that will allow me to enter. And I want you to know that whenever you invite me, I do come, always without fail. Silent and unseen, I come, but with infinite power and love, and bringing the many gifts of my spirit. I come with my mercy, with my desire to forgive and heal you, and with a love for you beyond your comprehension, a love every bit as great as the love I have received from the Father. I come, longing to console you and give you strength, to lift you up and bind all your wounds. I bring you my light to dispel your darkness and all your doubts. I come with my power that I might carry you and all of your burdens. With my grace, I come to touch your heart, transform your life, and my peace I give to still your soul. I know you through and through. I know everything about you. The very hairs of your head I have numbered. Nothing in your life is unimportant to me. I have followed you through the years, and I have always loved you, even in your wanderings. I know every one of your problems. I know your needs and your worries. And yes, I know all your sins. But I tell you again that I love you. Not for what you have or haven't done. I love you for you, for the beauty and dignity my Father gave you by creating you in his own image. It is a dignity you have often forgotten, a beauty you have tarnished by sin. But I love you as you are, and I have shed my blood to win you back. If you only ask me with faith, my grace will touch all that needs changing in your life, and I will give you the strength to free yourself from sin and all its destructive power. I know what is in your heart. I know your loneliness and all your hurts, the rejections, the judgments, the humiliations. I carried it all before you, and I carried it all for you, so that you might share my strength and victory. I know especially your need for love, how you are thirsting to be loved and cherished. But how often have you thirsted in vain by seeking that love selfishly, striving to fill the emptiness inside you with passing pleasure, with the even greater emptiness of sin? Do you thirst for love? Come to me, all you who thirst. I will satisfy you and fill you. Do you thirst to be cherished? I cherish you more than you can imagine, to the point of dying on a cross for you. I thirst for you. Yes, that is the only way to even begin to describe my love for you. I thirst for you. I thirst to love you and to be loved by you. That is how precious you are to me. I thirst for you. Come to me and I will fill your heart and heal your wounds. I will make you a new creation and give you peace, even in all your trials. I thirst for you. You must never doubt my mercy, my acceptance of you, my desire to forgive, my longing to bless you and live my life in you. I thirst for you. If you feel unimportant in the eyes of the world, that matters not at all. For me, there is no one any more important in the entire world than you. I thirst for you. Open to me. Come to me. Thirst for me. Give me your life, and I will prove to you how important you are to my heart. Don't you realize that my Father already has a perfect plan to transform your life, beginning from this moment? Trust in me. Ask me every day to enter and take charge of your life, and I will. I promise you before my Father in heaven that I will work miracles in your life. Why would I do this? Because I thirst for you. All I ask is that you entrust yourself to me completely. I will do all the rest. Even now I behold the place my Father has prepared for you in my kingdom. Remember that you are a pilgrim in this life, on a journey home. Sin can never satisfy you or bring the peace you seek. All that you have sought outside of me has only left you more empty. So do not cling to the things of this life. Above all, do not run from me when you fall. Come to me without delay. When you give me your sins, you give me the joy of being your Savior. There is nothing I cannot forgive and heal. So come now and unburden your soul. No matter how far you may wander, no matter how often you forget me, no matter how many crosses you may bear in this life, there is one thing I want you to always remember, one thing that will never change. I thirst for you just as you are. You don't need to change to believe in my love, for it will be your belief in my love that will change you. You forget me, and yet I'm seeking you every moment of the day, standing at the door of your heart and knocking. Do you find this hard to believe? Then look at the cross. Look at my heart that was pierced for you. Have you not understood my cross? Then listen again to the words I spoke there, for they tell you clearly why I endured all this for you. I thirst. Yes, I thirst for you, as the rest of the psalm verse I was praying says of me, I looked for love and I found none. All your life I have been looking for your love. I have never stopped seeking to love you and be loved by you. You have tried many other things in your search for happiness. Why not try opening your heart to me right now, more than you ever have before? Whenever you do open the door of your heart, whenever you come close enough, you will hear me say to you again and again, not in mere human words, but in spirit, no matter what you have done, I love you for your own sake. Come to me with your misery and your sins, with your troubles and needs, and with all your longing to be loved. I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Open to me, for I thirst for you. That's it. It's very beautiful. I pray you'll take it to heart. If you want a copy of it, I believe that all you have to do is Google Mother Teresa, I Thirst for You prayer, and it should come up. If not, you know, email the station and I'll try to post this for you. Mother Teresa also said, Jesus is God, therefore his love, his thirst is infinite. He, the creator of the universe, asks for the love of his creatures. He thirsts for our love. These words, I thirst, do they echo in our souls? You know, sometimes it just seems like, you know, we're going through life and it's kind of has a life of its own, so to speak, and we don't have to think much of it or think much of God. That, you know, I have met people who believe that God is not an intimate God, that he's just this creator God of the whole universe. He created us, threw us on this planet, and said, have with it. And basically has walked away from us. But, you know, those of us who have encountered Jesus and know that that's not true. Because when you give yourself to him, he shows you himself. He proves to you that he exists. We spend so much time before we believe in him, denying him, trying to find reasons not to believe, because we don't like commitments. Look at our society today. People don't want to get married because they want to leave their options open. People don't want to go to church because they want to do their own thing, or they want to have options to go to one church or another that, you know, they want to go to. There's a lot of reasons that we don't like commitment. Commitments come with responsibilities. Commitments come with devotion to something. So a lot of times we make every excuse we can to not trust Jesus and not believe in him. But believe you me, those of us who have crossed over that ravine to the side where Jesus is, gone through the waters, and gotten to the other side, through our life experience, we know that he is real. And I encourage you to believe that if you don't already. And if you are a believer and you have had many challenges and disappointments in church, amongst your Christian friends, just so many disappointments and injuries and hurts, after the break, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. And I hope that you'll stick it out with me and hang in with me. But basically, you know, bad things happen to good people. Oops, I think we might have lost our feed. But anyway, bad things do happen to good people. Bad things happen in life. And so after the break, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. But part of the reason that I want to talk about that is because I got a phone call over the weekend. And it broke my heart. A good friend, his name was Al, passed away suddenly and unexpectedly. His wife called me. Denise, God bless you, Denise, if you're listening. It was such a shock. He fell down the basement steps and had a massive brain injury and passed because of that. And it was such a shock, not only obviously to me, but especially to Denise and his family. These kind of things are so difficult. They're heartbreaking. We don't understand why they happen. And we probably won't know all the answers to that until we're before God and he explains these things to us, because he will. But there's constructive things that we can do. And so I'm hoping to talk about that a little bit. But, you know, we all have challenges every day in our lives. Disappointments, challenges, and it's how can we deal with that? How can we go on sometimes? We just don't feel like it sometimes, or life is very difficult, and it's we have precious promises from Christ. We have all kinds of wonderful things that the church teaches us. We can go on. We can go on. And so I want to talk to you about that. I want to encourage you about that. You know, I'm not as young as some people think I am. So I've had a very full life filled with a lot of joy and a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and a lot of grief. And I'm just going to share with you afterwards, after the break, some of the tools that are available to help get through these things. And also the promises of God that He gives to us. Anyway, we'll be back in a minute. Stick it with me, and thank you for listening so far. God bless.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2900.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for hanging in there with me. I'm Rita Halkalane, and one of the reasons that I'm here is to help us to learn how to trust Jesus, cast our nets of life out into the deep with Him, and to receive what He wants to give us. You know, He says many times in Scripture, if only we knew what He has to offer us. If only we knew. If only we would trust. So, he appeared to Saint Faustina in Poland and revealed His mercy and so many things to her, and she has shared it with us in the world. And the number one thing that disappoints Him the most is our lack of trust. He says many times in the Gospels, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Our lack of trust wounds Him deeply. And so we try to the best of our ability and with His grace to trust in the most difficult of times. Before I get into that, I want to make an announcement. On Sunday, April 14th, from 1:30 to 5:30, at Malvern Retreat House, our radio network will be having their Wake Up America 2024 dinner. Kathleen McCarthy will be speaking, but our special guest will be Mark Houck. Mark Houck is her son-in-law, as she calls him, but he is sadly, in some ways, world famous for what happened to him while he was defending his son from an aggressive person outside of a Planned Parenthood or abortion clinic. I can't remember if it was Planned Parenthood or not, but it was an abortion clinic in Philadelphia. He was arrested, went through hell, just a lot of things. And he will be speaking that day. God performed a miracle, thanks to all of your prayers. And he did not go to prison. But his witness is very powerful about the power of God during those tough times and how important it is for us to be witnesses in the world and not to be run over by the things that happen to us as we live our Catholic Christian faith. So please come and join us. You'll meet me and the other broadcasters. There's a silent auction, and believe you me, it's really fun. A lot of interesting things are auctioned off, and you can bid on them if you like. And all the proceeds come to the station to keep it running. And we appreciate your financial help as well. There'll be raffle prizes and things. So that's Sunday, April 14th, 1:30 to 5:30. And, excuse me, it will be a wonderful time. I've been there before, and I can vouch for it. So don't forget, April 14th, come to our network Wake Up America dinner. Now, to get back to our subject, I listened to the Hallow app. It's really a beautiful thing to subscribe to. There's some free portions of it, but I subscribe to it because I find it very worthwhile. Hallow, H-A-L-L-O-W. And there was one daily reflection a few weeks ago on expectations. And it got me to thinking about expectations. We all have expectations. We all have in our thoughts, our plans, our hopes, how life is supposed to work, what we want to happen, and how it's, you know, we hope everything goes the way that we expect. But as you well know, that doesn't always happen. It really convicted me. In some ways, I'm a very focused person. And if I make plans, and those plans change in a way that I wasn't expecting, I can get pretty bent out of shape because I really was counting on that. And it didn't happen, and it's so disappointing, blah, blah, blah. Well, this app helped me to rethink that. Because when you're more flexible and you're willing to just go with the flow. Oh, we lost our feet again. I don't know what's happening. You know, technical difficulties, but I'm going to keep going. If we're more flexible and we just allow the Lord and other people to change our plans once in a while and that sort of thing, life to be different than what we expected, we'll be happier. But we always think that we're going to be, that God should answer our prayers a certain way. Only good should come to us because we're believers. So believers is believers. Only good should come to us. We shouldn't have any heartbreaks, any losses or things and people to grieve. But at the same time, we know we're not in heaven yet. This life is a pilgrimage on our way to heaven. And there's many wonderful things that happen in this life. I think this life is pretty doggone good. You know, even with its pains and sorrows, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of peace, there's a lot of love, there's a lot of abundance, but there's also a lot of heartbreak, deep losses, unexpected tragedies like our dear friend Al. I can hardly talk about it. And deep grief. Deep, deep grief. One thing that I've learned over my lifetime as a Christian, that we cannot overcome these this darkness in the world. There's a lot of darkness in the world. We can't overcome that darkness and our troubles by ourselves. We struggle so hard to do it by ourselves when we've got ready help. Scripture says that the Lord is a very present help in troubles. He's there. He's right there with us. So, in fact, you know, Jesus himself said, we can do nothing without him. Yet with him, all things are possible. What we receive when we're challenged and grieving is unbelievable. If we ask for it, if we trust in it, and if we walk with it. I talked to you a few weeks ago about a couple in our parish, the Petranskis, who lost their 2-year-old son absolutely suddenly. Tragic, horrible. It affected, still is affecting, our whole parish and obviously their lives. And they post on Facebook, you know, various faith-filled things that people can't understand how they can do that. Obviously, they're in shock, and a lot of the reality of this grief is not set in yet, and it will. But they're doing what they know they have to do, what God has told them to do. They are clinging to him. They are trusting him. They are having hope in him. And the rest of us are trying to be there for them. And they're making it through. Slowly but surely, this is something that will go on for years. You never get over the loss of someone that you really, really, truly, deeply loved. You never get over it. You learn to live with it. And if you live with the Lord in that, you find that you have strength you didn't know you could, you didn't imagine you would be able to have. Things turn out in a way that you didn't expect, in a good way. That grief and that loss, he can turn into something beautiful someday. We don't know why bad things happen to good people. We will never really know why. Not until we're face to face with him. And he will tell us. He will share with us. It says in Scripture that he will reveal things at that time. So we can trust that. And he says, my ways are not your ways. And there's a lot of things that he has done throughout history and Scripture that we think, oh, wow, I wouldn't have done it that way. You know, but he knows what he's doing. He's in control. And the loss of someone so young and innocent makes no sense at all to us. But he has told us he can trust us. And if we cling to him, we will be comforted. He says, basically, since I was having such a tough day today, I just kept coming up with these scriptures that have pulled me through the dark times of my life. And like I said, I've had many dark times. But I did know Scripture, and I did know the promises of God, and those things, along with prayers, like I couldn't do much of anything all day long, as far as God went. But at night, before I went to bed, I would read these scriptures, and I would pray. And just that little bit of effort got me through. So I'm going to share some scriptures with you, because I'm hoping that you will be encouraged by them, and that you will be able to get some strength from them. Okay? All right. Jesus says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I, and us united with him, have overcome the world and its troubles. In this world you will have troubles. He doesn't say we won't mourn. We won't be challenged every day to go on. He doesn't say that this is going to be heaven on earth. He says we will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world, and we are united with him as believers, so we have overcome the world, all that pain and sorrow, if we cling to him. Jesus wants us to understand that these things that are happening to us, or have happened to us, or will happen to us, do not have the final word. He has the final word. He has promised many things. You've all heard this, but listen to it. Blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn. We don't feel blessed at all when we're in mourning. We feel robbed. We feel devastated. But he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted. He wants us to know that in the deepest, darkest times of our lives, he is with us, and he will give us what we need in that time to be comforted. Sometimes he uses Bible verses. Sometimes he uses friends. Sometimes he uses a vacation. Sometimes he uses a little small voice to whisper in your ear, don't give up, I'm with you. Do not fret, my son. Do not fret, my daughter. There is always hope. There is always hope with me. You can go on. You can do this. Hold on to me. Let me be your strength. Okay, and here's some more. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. When we're going through difficult times, when we lost our job, when we're worried about where the next meal is going to come from, when we are serving our family members that are challenging to serve, when we've lost a loved one, we are weary at times. We feel very burdened by our grief or by our physical lack of strength. So many things can come upon us. And he says, come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. May I recommend a very powerful way to come to him? We Catholics, in some of our churches, have Eucharistic adoration. This is where the Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is exposed on the altar in a room where you can go and just sit and be with him. Even if you aren't Catholic, find a Catholic church near you that has, call and ask, do you have adoration available? Find one that does. St. Pius X in Broomall does. There's a lot of them. Many of them that have Eucharistic adoration. Just go and sit there and pour out your heart to Jesus in the quiet, because the peace you will get passes all understanding. I guarantee it. Even if you're not Catholic, try it. I guarantee that it will be an oasis for you. Here's some more. I am with you always. Even when we don't think he is, he promises, I am with you always. He is there with you now, in your grief, in your challenges. Another reassuring scripture from the Old Testament, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Waiting for him to reveal where he's taking us, trusting that he's with us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. On your own intelligence do not rely. In all your ways be mindful of him, and he will straighten your path. He will help you to take the right road. There's another scripture that says, if you follow me, if you believe in me, and you're walking in life, from behind you, you'll hear a little voice that says, walk in this way. Go this way. That's what he does for us. When we look at Jesus, his whole entire life witnesses to the fact that there is always hope. Everything he did pointed us in the direction of hope, in the direction of assurance and confidence, in a God the Father who loves us in ways that our earthly fathers could never even imagine. Jesus Christ, his only Son, loves us so much he died for us so that we could be in union with him and the Father. And so, St. Paul understood this well, that there is always hope. And he wrote, all things work for good to those who love God. All things, even our heartbreaks, even the disappointments in life, work together for those who love God. I can attest to this myself. Absolutely, so many things that seemed disastrous ended up being blessings in disguise. One good thing that comes out of the suffering process is if we cling to him, go to him, pour out our hearts to him, believe in him, ask him to come and be with us, to lead us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to renew us. He will come and he will do what he has promised to do. He will take even the most horrible things in life and make them work for good for us. Some of my deepest and most profound moments with God have happened in the darkest times, where he was my only hope. This can be for you too. He also says, St. Paul, do not grieve like those who have no hope. He explains that because since Jesus died and rose again, so we too will rise again. And the ones that we grieve for will rise again. There is life after this passing death. There is life. Sometimes I go to funerals, and although my heart is broken, deep inside of me, there's a smile, because I know that we have a merciful God, and that if this person believed in God and in through Jesus Christ, Jesus is the key. Jesus is the key not just some God we make up, but God the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of David, and Solomon, and Joseph, and Mary. That God is the one true God. And Jesus Christ is our hope. So, if Jesus died and rose, so do we believers have the hope. So when I'm at the funeral and I'm sad and grieving, inside I smile because I know who I believe in. I know that this is not the end, and that the suffering that this person may have endured is over. I pray that the Lord will have mercy on all people. I pray that they will, in their last moments, have turned to Jesus Christ. But I also know that my grief is short-lived because I can believe in Him. I can trust Him. So we don't grieve like those who have no hope. This life isn't all there is. So St. Paul also says, I know indeed how to live in humble circumstances. I know also how to live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I have the strength for everything through Him who empowers me. St. Paul was in prison for many years. Some of his most joyful writings, most hopeful writings, were written while he was suffering torture and in prison. So let us learn from him what Jesus wants to give us in our suffering. He says here that he's lived in poverty. He's lived in abundance. He has been well fed. He has starved. He has been in need, and he's been had his needs fulfilled. He has learned no matter what happens, as long as he has Jesus Christ, as long as we have Jesus Christ, we can learn to be joyful in the midst of sorrow, no matter where we are. Okay, again, from prison, he says, on this account, I'm suffering these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know him in whom I have believed and am confident that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. We know who we have believed in. We can trust him. Remember the things that you've been through in the past that he's gotten you through. Remember how you got here today. The prayers that were answered in an unexpected way or seemed not to be answered and yet led you to another place where abundance lived. We believers can be people filled with hope if we trust in Jesus' promises. I want to end this segment with this poem that has lived in my heart since the first time I read it years ago. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, or peace without pain. God has not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He has not told us we shall not bear many a burden and many a care. God has not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. I'm going to repeat that last paragraph. God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Two things real quickly. If you're looking for a retreat to go to or a mission, St. Pius X in Broomall, Pennsylvania is having a mission tonight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night at 7 p.m. So I invite you to join us if you wish. And also don't forget, on Sunday, April 14th, from 1:30 to 5:30, the In His Sign Catholic Radio annual Wake Up America Dinner. Come and join us. Have a good time. Meet me. Let me meet you. It's a wonderful day and a wonderful experience. So please join us and come and support us. There's only two fundraisers a year for this network. And without you, we can't do it. So come and have some fun with us and support us and help us to do the will of God. God bless you until I see you and talk to you next Monday. God bless.